You're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now we have in the studio members of the Ivories, a group from the west side of Chicago. So they will be here talking about their records and telling their story and talking about the history of their group. So first, I have to say thanks so much for coming to the studio, and if the three of you could introduce yourselves, that would be good.
Hi, my name is Carol Sanford, formerly Carol Samuel.
Okay.
And my name is Linda Smith, formerly Linda Harris.
Okay.
My name is Napata Miro, formerly too many things to go into. Nickname Cookie is what I was called, but my name back then in school was Marilyn.
Okay, what was your last name?
McThune.
Okay. Okay, great. So we have three members of the group Ivories here talking about their group. So first of all, you are all from the west side of Chicago, right?
Yes. Correct.
So what specific neighborhood and what streets are you all from?
Arthington and Kesey. We all three came off of the same block.
Okay.
We all went to school together.
Okay.
And everything. And
so the group formed actually even before high school and grammar school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know grammar schools that well, but you all went to Marshall High School, right?
Right. Okay.
What grammar school did you form in?
Manly.
Okay. What?
Went to Manly.
Manly. Well, Manly was junior, wasn't it? Was it? Because I went to Shepherd.
So do you know what grade you were formed in?
Oh, we met in, wasn't it the fifth grade?
Right.
Yeah, it was the fifth grade.
And so did you knew each other in fifth grade, or you started singing together in the fifth
we
grade?
We knew each other in the fifth grade.
And when did you form a group or at least start singing together?
It seems the talent, when they started, we had seventh or our eighth grade year.
Mm.
They had a competition,
okay,
for Marshall and Manly for Teens with Talent.
Okay.
What it was called.
Teens with Talent was the show that Al Johnson and like the Conquistadors put on.
Yeah, but no, Teens with Talent did not come from Manly or Marshall. It actually was the YMCA.
Yeah, it was
on Kedzie.
Right. Yeah.
On Kedzie, and that was right in our neighborhood.
Arthington.
And I discovered it. We didn't know that it was going on. I think I spent summers on the South Side with my grandmother, and I was away, but my brothers, who later became the Baby Miracles.
Okay.
As a family, we became the Baby Miracles. And they were singing. They were walking by the Y and heard these guys singing, just singing up a storm. And so they started singing.
Okay.
And they were singing so strong and so good that the guys opened the doors and said, "Who was that?" And it was us. And my brother at the time was 7 years old, and he sounded like Smokey Robinson.
Exactly.
And could sing his behind off. So they invited them in. And that was the beginning of Teens with Talent. And they said, "Well, we have a sister, and she'll be back." And when I came back, I went in and we performed for him. And but during the course of that summer, we were performing.
Okay.
And I grew 2 feet, and I couldn't be a Baby Miracle anymore. So my cousin Madeline took the place.
Madeline.
Mm-hmm. Madeline took the place of me as the female group, you know, being
the wife.
What was Smokey's wife?
Claudette. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. That's how that started. But I didn't want to be. They said you have to be the young Dionne Warwick.
Okay.
And I wanted to be with the group.
So they wanted you to sing solo in the Teens with Talent show.
Exactly.
So how old were you when you started doing the Teens with Talent?
I was 10.
What grade?
About 11.
What grade was that like?
Grade was
six or seven.
Yeah, six or seven.
Okay. So you originally formed Teens with Talent kind of accidentally forming the Baby Miracles when your brothers discovered the show.
Right.
And they wanted, and once you outgrew the Baby Miracles, they wanted you to go solo, but you wanted to be in a group.
I wanted backup. I was scared to death.
So is that how you end up forming the...
Yeah, well, that's when I approached these guys, because we kind of used to play around.
Not anyway, on her back porch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We seen the other girls and guys doing it up there, and we said, "We can do this."
Yeah.
We can do this, and we did. We just... you can do it, I can do it, too.
So what inspired you, mainly the groups from the neighborhood, or were there specific groups on the radio that you remember?
Oh, no, yeah, Motown.
Okay.
The Supremes. Mm-hmm. I grew up going to every Regal Motown review that came to the Regal Theater.
Okay.
A cousin took us. So she was my older cousin, and she took us as the family group.
Okay.
Before our group, and we ended up performing for Smokey and the Miracles backstage. And every time we went, from then on, they would send down and get us, and we would do the show. We would watch the show from behind the stage with. We watched fights with Marvin Gaye and his girlfriend at the time.
Ooh. Who
pulled a knife on Marvin
Vandellas.
Oh, it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we were also at the recording with Stevie Wonder's Fingertips.
Right.
Yeah,
we were. I remember it.
So that was before you were even singing? You were at that recording
session?
Well,
no, we were singing.
Oh, okay.
But we were the Baby Miracles.
Okay,
time.
So you were hanging out in the studio.
And we were hanging out backstage
okay.
at the Regal Theater.
Oh, because it's a live recording.
It was a live recording. Well, we were in the audience at the time when this happened. And I just noticed all these amazing microphones hanging all in every place. And I thought, this is really different. What's going on here? And that was when, and I learned later, they had recorded Stevie's theater.
Okay. I think the mics are feeding back a little bit. So let me actually play your first record, and we could talk a little bit more about how...
Oh, okay.
This is a very good record.
A
so
or B.
I'll play Please... Please Stay.
Please yeah. Stay, as I said it.
This is a good song. I don't know why you're embarrassed about it.
Because I would say, Please Stay.
Okay,
well,
I'll play the Ivories with Please Stay, and then we will come back and talk some more.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is. Okay, that was just the Ivories with their very first record called Please Stay. And if you're just tuning in right now in the studio, I have three members of the Ivories in the studio talking about their history of their group and their records. So we kind of skipped over a lot of the history going up to that record. So first of all, you weren't originally called the Ivories, right?
No.
Okay. So, and you were just talking about how you originally formed to do the Teens with Talent shows Napata left the Baby Miracles.
Yes.
You formed the group to do the Teens with Talent shows. Do you remember around what year that was? Like, say, what year the group was formed?
Our group?
Yeah.
We were in high school.
Okay.
By the time this happened.
Well, I know this record came out when you were in high school, but.
Well, I mean before that.
Okay.
When the way that we were even introduced, we won a contest,
right.
And a talent contest in school.
Okay.
And we started performing. You know, we were invited to do different performances.
Okay.
And the.
Was it the Marshall High School had? What is it? The Chamboree? Was that the name of the?
Yeah.
Oh, it's your one.
Yeah. Everyone talks.
You know this
because more groups came out of Marshall than any other group. So everyone always talks.
Exactly.
Everyone who comes up here from Marshall always talks about the Jamboree as like
that's
a big
exactly
talent show.
That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
The Jamboree, and there was one young female vocalist, Pat
Smith.
Pat Smith.
Yeah.
She danced.
She was a dancer with like Phil Coran, and she was later with Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis.
Well, she was, and she had connections with Jerry Butler and those guys because she introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
She told them about this girl group, you know, and she said.
So what was the name of your group when you were
the Simplistics?
You were called the Simplistics.
You were called the Simplistics,
and that was the original name of your group.
Oh no!
No,
very first
name. That was the first name, Linda. When we went to a and we were at the Regal as usual, and they introduced us, and we sang for Martha and the Vandellas.
Okay.
And they named us the Mandellas after Martha and Vandellas.
So, but it was Marilyn
and the Mandellas.
Okay.
Which is my Marilyn.
Okay.
And the Mandellas. That is frightening.
So how then, we forget things.
So then you were originally Marilyn and Mandellas, and you at the time you were just doing kind of talent shows and
were you in school?
We're in grammar
school. did you do the teens with talent show?
No,
too?
That had not.
Okay. You only did that with the Baby Miracles, pretty
yeah.
much.
And oh, but no. There was a whole history with that.
Okay.
We were also go-go girls.
Yes.
With the teens with talent. Mm-hmm.
That's funny. So you were dancers?
Yes, a little boots.
Go-go
remember?
Boots, little
one,
go-go
one
boots.
Time, yeah. Because he needed that look. He needed to, and there was, he would do these incredible shows, and we went through the neighborhood in a truck, I mean, in a van kind of thing, and getting out and doing what platform
had
stages.
A platform stage,
performance.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think of the year. Because this is also intertwined for me. Teens with Talent happened very early on for me.
Okay.
About 11.
Okay.
And then I started, you know, with these girls, and then I brought them in to Teens with Talent.
Okay.
So it maybe had been a year or two later.
Okay.
Because it eventually, you know, lost its funding or whatever.
Okay.
But now we're performing from Teens with Talent, and I'm working with my girlfriends from the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and we started performing at school.
Okay.
And from there, Pat Smith said, "Are you guys serious about performing? Because I'd like to introduce you to."
So was Pat Smith a student at Marshall?
She was a student at Marshall, and she was maybe a year ahead of us.
And she was in the talent.
Yeah,
she was in the talent
was,
show too.
Well, not in Teens with Talent.
No, but in the Marshall talent show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
And she was very connected.
Was she dancing or was she singing?
She was dancing.
No.
She also sang.
Okay.
She did both. And she sang in the talent show, and she said, "You guys are really good, and I want to introduce you." And that was the beginning of the recording. She introduced us to Earl Smith, who was Jerry Butler's brother-in-law.
Okay.
And Jerry Butler was just starting his record company.
So what year were you in school? Like sophomores? Or?
We were maybe sophomores
mm-hmm.
at that time.
And you were called the Simplistics at that time?
We were called Simplistics. Mm-hmm.
So I never asked how you got the name the Simplistics, and when did you get that name?
I think the Simplistics, I came up with the Simplistics. And where that came from, I don't know. I was always on my back porch dreaming. I was working in Paris from my back porch, you know, at a young age.
So in grammar school, you were called Marilyn and the Mandellas. And then in high school, you came up with the name the Simplistics.
The Simplistics. Mm-hmm.
And then Pat Smith, the dancer and singer, introduced you to, what was his name?
Earl Smith.
Who was Jerry Butler's brother-in-law. Okay.
And he became our manager, our personal manager.
Okay. So.
And then you forgot about we met Ramsey Lewis's sister. She used to be one of our teachers.
Sure
and
was.
And plays the piano.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's a music teacher.
He likes it.
Gloria Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sister.
Okay.
Lewis's sister.
She quite
but
a
yeah,
fall.
Yeah, but then she didn't really have anything to do with our recording or.
No.
Okay.
I associate the recording directly to Pat Smith. That was the beginning.
That's true.
She introduced us, and it took off from there, and it was solely because of her.
So Pat Smith took you to Jerry Butler's brother-in-law, and then how did you get a recording contract? Because the recording, your record came out on a label, Dispenza, which was Barry Dispenza's record label.
Exactly.
So what was the story? How did you get the record contract?
Well, the story behind it, I remember this. Something was happening with Jerry's record company at that time in terms of a label.
Okay, like he wanted to start a label?
Exactly. Exactly. So he had the, you know, he was starting a recording company, and we would go there to rehearse, you know, with the bands, you
okay.
know, these songs. So by the time everything got recorded, we were learning the songs, and I ended up working in the office after school. But
in the office for Jerry Butler?
Jerry Butler's office.
For his company?
On Roosevelt Road.
Do you remember what company? Because at the time he was with Mercury Records or VJ, one of those labels. And are you saying his own company?
No,
that he was
his own company.
You don't know what the company that he that
the
was called?
The name of that company. What was the name of that company? I don't
Billy
know.
Billy Butler was involved.
Well, his brother,
brother,
of course. He had his brother and his brother-in-law involved.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the name of that company. But it was on Roosevelt Road
okay.
at 12th Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right there.
And because that's where I get off the bus and I go to this little office upstairs and met people like Gene Chandler.
Gene Chandler was there. Yeah.
You know, Jackie Wilson. These singers would come in. But it was doing, when we recorded, I remember we came in at one point, and all of a sudden there was these new three guys. It was two brothers, Barry and his brother.
Okay.
They had
a bunch of brothers,
company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, we were introduced to them. They said we were going to be on their record label.
So you recorded
whether
it.
They were buying us, or I don't know how that happened, or what was going on, but we signed with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you signed with Barry.
Well, for that.
Just for that record.
Yeah.
So you recorded the record before he picked it up? Like you already went to the studio and recorded it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so something happened in between that.
So you were pretty much in kind of Jerry Butler's label somehow,
yeah,
and
exactly.
associated with him.
Exactly.
And you had did you have a management contact with his brother, contract with Jerry or his brother?
No, we did. We had a contract with Jerry.
Okay, as management pretty much?
Producers?
No, yeah, producers, record company. As our record contract was with Jerry.
Okay. And then you ended up signing a contract with Barry Dispenza to put out the first record,
right? The record was going to be put out on his label, as you remember. There was a lot of drama with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard stories about him too. So and he's most famous. Actually, Barry Dispenza is most famous. He has writing credits on Tyrone Davis's "Can I Change My Mind."
Oh yeah,
so that's what
okay.
he's most famous for.
Okay.
But let me play the B side of your first record, and we can talk a little bit more, get some more history. So this track is called
"I'm in a Groove."
In a Groove, yeah, I'm in a groove. Oh, sorry, this is it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just the Ivories with the B-side of their record, and that was called I'm in a Groove. So right now, if you're just tuning in, we have members of the Ivories talking about their history and their records. So one thing we didn't talk about is the name change, and I think there was a lineup change, too, for that record. So that the originally, you, before that record, you were called the Simplistics,
yes.
And somehow you became the Ivories in between that.
The record, company, Jerry's company, changed our name.
Okay.
And you know why? You know, three African Americans, they name us Ivories. I have no idea.
It's coming clear to me. I don't remember much. Remember Mr. Ivory?
Mr. Ivory.
From the Y, with under that program, under that banner, he said they'll be named after me.
And that was the law.
That was the law, and that's how it happened.
So
you may be listening.
Call
in, Mr. Ivory.
Mr. Ivory, I do remember.
Do you remember his first name?
No.
So he was, you said at the Y, was he with the Teens with Talents?
Must have been.
Okay. You know what he did with the Teens with Talent?
He was like... He put up the money, or he was the big wig.
Some producer.
Contributor.
Well, I know.
But he was,
Al Johnson was the main guy.
He knew Al Johnson.
Okay.
Right.
Both of them.
Elgate, they were probably in together.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were funded. You know, this was like a government-funded thing, which was amazing. Who was our president there? Was it Johnson? No.
I only know about music.
No. But I just thought it was amazing that, you know, these programs happened all of a sudden.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and
what was a very positive thing, like a community?
Right. Very positive. It got kids off the street.
Yeah.
You know.
So you became the Ivories because a man named Mr. Ivory,
Mr.
who was
Ivory.
With the Teens with Talent, decided that was your new name.
And he was going to be our manager, or he's the one that...
I remember his name.
It's like, you're gonna be called Ivory. And I thought, well, this is good. We'll be named the keys, the piano keys.
Okay.
But he said, no, that's in my name, because of my name.
Well, that makes sense. Now, I'm wondering, why would they name us the Ivories? Where did that
come from?
It was named from a guy who was doing some producing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, so you had a lineup, one of the members changed for that record, right? Angela joined the group.
Yes.
So she's not here right now.
She joined the group before we actually, you know, did the record.
Mm-hmm. A little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
Which member did she replace?
Linda Smith.
Okay.
Who is with us right now?
Okay. So, and Angela, did you know her from the neighborhood too?
School.
And what was her last name at the time?
Sanford.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She married Angie's brother.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why her name is Sanford.
Yeah.
Okay. So Angela replaced Linda in the group.
Yes.
And pretty soon you signed like a record deal with Barry, and you cut the record. So what were you still in school when the record came out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Were you juniors or seniors? Do you remember when it was?
We were juniors at the time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it must have been pretty exciting to cut the record.
It was very exciting. I think I was taking my morning bath before going to school, and my mom came and said, Cookie, your record is playing on the radio. And it was great. And when we got to school, everybody was, you know, who had heard, it was like, yeah, you know. So it was... I remember that very clearly. It was very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. So then, did you start to do shows? Did you ever do any shows once you had a record?
Well, yes, we did. We had to in order to get the DJs to play it. That was a part of the deal.
So you did record hops for the DJs?
We did record hops, a lot of record hops.
Or what's his name?
Herb Kent?
Yes.
Okay.
No, the other one. Herb Kent wasn't the bad one. No, the one who was slapped us on our behind.
That was him.
It wasn't Herb Kent. No, it was a different, another one. And who was the other one? God,
I could go through all the DJs' names.
I'll never. No, it wasn't Herb Kent. We worked for Herb Kent, but Herb Kent was very respectful.
He had the hops.
Oh, yeah, he did have the hops, but there was other record companies we went to, and that one particular one, because we decided, you and I, we said, we're quitting. Because he slapped us on our behind.
Yes, he did.
Remember, we said, we're going to quit, that's it.
I thought it was him.
I heard similar stories of abuse from other female groups.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, but we were very protected. Actually, Jerry Butler's brother, Earl, was very protected. And when we went to him and said, he won't get smacked us on our butts. And Earl was like, you know, said, come on, girls, now. You know, let's go.
Yeah. So at the time, and you were actually getting into the record, like you Marilyn, were the part that were working at Jerry's record company at the time, right?
Yeah, they needed like a little secretary
okay.
at the time. And after school, I would get on a bus and go there. And as a result of that, I got to meet a lot of stars, you know, that would come in to either rehearse with Bernard. I mean, the band. Bernard was almost always a part of the band.
Okay.
He was one of like the regular guys, and there were rehearsal rooms in
okay.
the studio, and so I got a chance to rehearse with them and ended up singing backup.
Okay.
You know, a couple of times.
So
that they needed.
Is the whole group singing backup on a few things?
Oh yeah, we did mm-hmm. backup with Jerry Butler's "I Dig You, Baby."
His version of the Lorraine Ellison song,
yes.
Which I'll play it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that is also interesting is it's very rare, but the Dispenza record got picked up by another record label, Wand Records, which was like a national record label.
Spell that.
WAND.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the label that Chuck Jackson and Maxine mm-hmm. Brown
yeah,
were on.
Yeah, I remember that label. Okay.
And so Please Stay actually came out on that label. So you don't know the story about what happened with that or why.
We have no idea. It's just
okay.
all of a sudden it happened. And I do remember that we were going places with Barry. And, I mean, they would pick us up and take us... I was kind of just being seen,
okay.
kind of a thing, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, maybe he was just trying to get it picked up by a national label for national
mm-hmm.
distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So then one reason I brought that up was, you had mentioned before, I don't know if maybe I was just confused.
Oh, Jackie Wilson?
Well, that's one thing, but also you said you might have done backup for Maxine Brown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you don't remember what specific songs?
No, that one I don't.
Okay.
Because, again, it was, they were working out backgrounds or something, and they came into the office and said, you know, Cookie, can you come and that would happen.
Okay.
You know, can you come and do this? And I would do this little backup thing. But what was used, you know, I don't know. I Dig You, Baby, we recorded that in a studio.
So
whether they used that, and Jackie Wilson's Whispers.
Okay. So
Peaches was a backup group that was in their studio frequently.
Okay. So you're saying Peaches also cut a recording for Jackie Wilson's
yeah.
Whispers,
mm-hmm.
and you're not sure which one is on the record?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they used.
Okay. So
and I listened to it years ago.
Okay.
And I always thought it was us.
I'll play for you in the studio and see what you think. So I'll play I Dig You, Baby, which the Ivories definitely sing back up on.
We definitely
on I Dig You, Baby. And the Ivories possibly sing backup on Jackie Wilson Whispers. They recorded a backup, and you're just not sure whether.
Right, not sure if they used that recording.
So this is Jerry Butler with the Ivories singing backup. This is I Dig You, Baby.
That's amazing.
Every man, when he's young and free, gets hung up on some new chick he meets. Though it doesn't usually last too long. Little girl, your love is strong, I have to say.
I like you, baby.
I think I like you, boy.
Baby.
Yes, I do.
I need you. Yes, I do.
You're that special kind of girl that makes a guy feel like he rules the world. You add that special something to my day.
Yes, I do.
I really
I
do. Now you are my inspiration, and I dig your hip conversation. The way you smile, oh, that's out of sight.
Okay, that was just Jackie Wilson with I Dig You, no, Jerry Butler with I Dig You Baby, backed by the Ivories, who are in the studio right now telling their story. So we were just talking about how the Ivories did backup for Jerry Butler's I Dig You Baby, and you definitely did backup for Jackie Wilson's Whispers, but you're not sure if it's on the released version.
Exactly.
And you also probably did some backup for some other artists, including Maxine Brown and maybe Chuck Jackson.
I used to think Gene Chandler. I remember being in the office when they were doing, there was some work, but it could have been Chuck Jackson. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, he was so cute. His tight pants. Oh, God, I remember that.
He's kind of old by then. I mean, he wasn't old, but he was older.
But he was sexy.
Okay.
I'll never forget that.
No. So the group was together, and so what's the story? How come the group never cut another record? Did you break up soon after that?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, what happened, our parents decided we had to stop. One reason is our grades all dropped as well. Yeah.
That's funny.
And my mom, and especially Mrs. Samuels, was like, you know, I remember she and my mom talking, she said, no, we cannot have this, you know, these. And, you know, and soon after that, you know, there was pregnancy, you know, that...
That's a story with the most female groups that I've talked to. So, but it was awesome that just through grade school and high school, you went through this whole thing of having a group and recording, and then... You know, it was over by the time you were done, but it was, you know, pretty exciting, like, story in your life.
I continue to perform.
Okay.
As I still do.
So
we perform in church.
Okay. And you perform in the military, right?
In the military, yeah.
Okay, so what...
before then, she was at jazz, saxophone.
Yeah.
So,
of sort.
So Carol is not only a singer, she's a very talented instrumentalist.
Amazing.
Yeah,
And so you said you play in the military now. What do you do there?
Percussion when they let me.
So what's the, I don't really understand how the military works. Do they have a band?
Well, you know, a lot of people think they can't be in a band in the military unless they're full time. But we have an Army Reserve band, and there are many.
Okay.
Army Reserve band.
So
you're out at the, can I say the name?
Sure.
A plug. 85th Division band in Arlington Heights, called Gagan or our Commander. And you'll get in. You have to take an audition and read a little something and let them know you can read, and you're in.
Okay, so you perform still in the band, and you said you perform percussion in the Army Reserve.
Percussion is my MOS, but they needed a singer, so now I'm singing.
Okay. That must be exciting again.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Like, and you just can't get away from it for some reason.
And, Linda, you said you sing in church now. And, Napata, you don't live in Chicago anymore, right?
No.
Where do you live?
I live in San Francisco, in California.
Okay.
Oakland, California.
Okay. And you now... go under the name Napata Miro, right? And you perform, is that right?
Yes.
So are you a full-time performer?
Full-time for many years.
So you have a whole band backing you?
I work, I have a 10-piece band Total with singer vocalists is Napata and the Chocolate Kisses, and that's it's kind of a corporate dance band, and we do corporate events, you know, SIBO Systems, Apple Computer, these are my clients.
Okay.
And high end weddings and then I perform in Paris for the past 11 years, and I have a 6-piece band there.
Okay.
Where I'm more of a blues and jazz singer, and I travel to various countries with this band, to doing jazz festivals and what have you.
That's awesome that you were able to stay in music and keep doing it
for
a living. Maybe now someone will come up to you and be like, "You were the Ivories."
I know.
So, any last words? First of all, thanks so much for all of you for coming down. I really appreciate it, and it was a great interview, very interesting story. Do you have any last words for the audience?
To support the live entertainment.
Okay.
You know, to go out and hear music and support the musicians and singers, you know, that are starting and that are working. That
okay.
Trying to make a living at it.
And I think they should follow their dreams.
Follow their dreams.
If you really and truly want to sing, let no one stop you. Do your own thing, baby.
Exactly.
And I would say to young people that are maybe coming out of high school, can't afford to go to college, don't be afraid to go into the military and play your music if you're a musician. It's a way to get paid for doing something you love, and you're keeping music alive. John Coltrane was a military man.
Okay.
You know, Doc Severinsen.
Okay.
He was military, so, you know, it helps facilitate your musicianship, so get involved with the military on the music side.
Okay, well, yeah, I didn't know about that. People should think about that if they want to get into music. So, okay, well, thanks again for coming down. I really appreciate it. This next record.